everybody, and welcome back to the podcast that exists solely to remind you that this world is a beautiful, magical, mysterious place. And to that end, I have guests appear on the show who generously share their stories of magic and miracle. This episode's guest, Eric Robinson, has had quite a colorful career, and we talk about it a little bit later. But suffice it to say that among pastor, FBI agent, SWAT team member, as well as author, Eric has pretty much covered it all. But I'm going to let Eric introduce himself and then share his magic miracle stories. And with that, here's my conversation with Eric Robinson.
I walk over to the applicant coordinator and I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about those sit-ups and I think I miscounted by one." And she says, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, this kid gave an effort. We've had people like just walk away after they are disqualified and not even give an effort." I said, "He gave everything. So that means something." So I walk over to the kid and I said, "Hey, we're going to give you one more sit-up. I want you to remember this. I want you to value this. If you get in, I want you to remember that somebody stuck their neck out and gave you this chance." So, as I said, I'm very practical, but there's a few things that have happened during my time that are kind of fun for me as coincidences. I spent 15 years as a SWAT operator. The best people I've met in my life are in the FBI. The best people in the FBI are in SWAT. Because when you go into life-threatening situations with other men and one woman, it binds you together. Like, you got through this and you've spent all that time training. So one day I'm talking to my buddy Travis. We finished an operation. It's getting near Easter. I say, "Hey, Travy, what are you guys going to do for Easter?" And he says, "Oh, we're going to go back to visit my in-laws in Jamestown, New York." And I go, "Well, that's where I pastored and I know most of the people there. What's their last name?" And he tells me their last name. And I go, "Travis, did like 6 or 7 years ago you talked to an FBI agent on the phone asking about being in the FBI?" And right there, this guy who I'd been serving next to on the SWAT team for a few years, I find out my buddy, a former pastor, calls me one day years prior and says, "Hey, my future son-in-law is thinking about getting in the FBI. He's in the military. Would you mind if he talks to you?" And I said, "Sure thing." I talked to this kid for an hour. Great. Sounds wonderful. Tell him this is the way to go. And then that's it. Years later, I don't even realize I'm serving next to him, you know, risking lives next to each other. It's just so awesome and unexpected. It's like going to a junior high and like giving a presentation. And then someday one of those kids comes back and says, "Hey, you left such an impression on me. Here I am." So that one was pretty cool.
I love that. Really,
yeah, that was so meaningful to me. Related to that, but a little bit different. I was a fit instructor in the Bureau, which nobody cares about. But part of what we get to do is we test the applicants. So you have to pass a fitness test at Quantico. And so we test you in the field to see if you are ready. You have to score a certain number of points. So I'd done so many people that I've got my little spiel, my script of what I do. And as we get to the push-up part, I show protocol for push-ups. And I say, "Listen, if you guys are in the military, I see a lot of this, you know, guys start just going, pumping them, and they're not locking out and coming fully down. This is what protocol is. So if you're in the military, please take your time fully up and down." And I go through that. And so we pass these guys through. one of those guys comes back. He's later my team leader on SWAT. And he tells me this story. He goes, yeah, actually, I applied when I was in Cleveland. And this one asshole fit instructor is like, and you guys in the military, you guys all suck. You have no idea how to do push-ups. And he was talking it up like as a joke. He's like, and I swore that day, I'm going to get into the FBI. I'm going to get back to Cleveland and I'm going to be that guy's team leader. And we were great friends. So, but just a fun coincidence of, yeah, I mean, for me, it's heartwarming. I got to be an influence. And then these guys got to be just wonderful agents too, that I respected so much. So I was very glad for those circumstances.
Those are really fun stories of kind of connection and unexpected synchronicity. You know, I think like for your first example, your first story, you're having this conversation with this young man. And I don't think at the time for any of us, we sometimes realize the power of what we're saying and how it can change someone's life. And also, you know, maybe shoot them off in a direction that they didn't expect, you know, that changes everything. So, I mean, I'm sure you thought to yourself, oh, my gosh, that's wild. That's wild. But like, good.
Yeah. I was just helping a buddy. Hey, you know, my son-in-law, future son-in-law is thinking about this. Like, yeah, I definitely give somebody perspective. He's connecting this guy to someone that he knows this might help. And yeah, sure. I mean, it's like carrying groceries for somebody. Yeah, no problem. And I made such a right decision on that because Travis is such a great human being. Like, he's the kind of person that I tried to be in the Bureau. And I see him as like, yeah, good hearted, wanting to help, good spirit. Flip side of that story. So I'm a fit instructor. I'm not trying to emphasize that so you can see how well built I am. I'm in Chicago and we've got a bunch of people doing the fit test. And I see this, you know, young kid coming in, he's lean. And we start out and the first event is sit-ups. So what we do is you count the total number of sit-ups. And then I'm pretty flexible with this too. If you're breaking protocol, you know, you're not coming down all the way. Now we take away how many bad sit-ups. So I tell the kid, hey, you did this many minus this, not even thinking I dropped him one under qualifying. So the first event, he's already disqualified. We go on to the other events. He does great. Mile and a half run. He scores top score possible in that, like giving his full effort, even though he'd already been disqualified. I walk over to the applicant coordinator and I said, hey, I'm thinking about those sit-ups and I think I miscounted by one. And she says, are you sure? I said, yeah. I mean, this kid gave an effort. We've had people like just walk away after they are disqualified and not even give an effort. I said, he gave everything. So that means something. So I walk over to the kid and I said, hey, we're going to give you one more sit-up. I want you to remember this. I want you to value this. If you get in, I want you to remember that somebody stuck their neck out and gave you this chance. And then I followed up later with the applicant coordinator to see how the kid was doing. And she said, oh, he bombed the polygraph. Like, he admitted to so many felonies that he didn't put on his record. I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost ran a criminal into the FBI. I was trying to be a good guy.
I'd like to thank Eric for coming onto the show and being so funny and so kind. And actually,
maybe having the best sense of humor that I've experienced in a really long time. I'm also grateful that he shared his journey, which really is rather singular. I mean, you don't really meet many pastors that then serve in the FBI. So I'm grateful that he's out there sharing his story and letting us know just what it looks like to have a career with lots of different paths. To do a deeper dive on Eric, follow those links in the episode show notes. There's all sorts of great stuff, including links to his book. And to that point, don't miss the Easter egg I've included at the end of this outro. I want to thank everyone who listens, and especially those people who have given me ratings or reviews. Those ratings and reviews mean ever so much, you'll really never know. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Eric. Like many of the guests on this show who have had really dynamic and interesting lives, Eric has not kind of just settled for one direction. I mean, he's been up for the adventure. And, you know, I always say, listen, listeners, be up for the adventure. And Eric is such a prime example of that. He's someone who steps into the magical path and decides to walk it no matter where it takes him. And because of that, he's done so much good for so many. So be like Eric and find your path. Find your path and then have the bravery to walk it. We need more of you out there, just like Eric, walking your paths with honesty, integrity, and with a deep sense of adventure. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, if you do that, you know, can you even believe how much magic and beauty you're going to bring to the world? All right, you'll be hearing from me with the very next episode of the podcast, but be sure not to miss the Easter egg, which starts right about now. I'd love to talk about your book.
Oh, okay.
Can you share a little bit about that? Maybe the genesis, how did you come about, you know, considering, because writing a book is no joke. It's so much work. It is so much work. So maybe the genesis, how you decided that you wanted to, and then what it's about and what you hope it conveys to people.
I'm going to give you another reason to like my wife, I guess. She and her company, Weaving Influence, have spent 14 years promoting marketing authors. So as I am nearing the end of my career, I say to her, what should I do? And she says, well, you can start with writing a book. And I go, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to. I enjoy writing, but I didn't write things down. And I wanted to when I got in, but I didn't. And then I felt it was too late. And she says, well, just try, you know, see what comes out of it. So I sit down at the computer and I'm going to try to map out, you know, the skeleton of it. And then I'll add to it later. It'll be this and that. And I think, well, let me just write the first chapter. And then it goes. And it's story after story. And it's these cases that I got to be a part of, interactions I had. It is the story of what happens if you take a Baptist pastor who's never handled a gun and you stick him in the FBI. And unlike some FBI stories that I've read, which are amazing and inspiring, many of them I find to be like fabulous. I think in my book, you can read it and go, oh, that was awesome. And also, I think I could do that. Because I was nothing special. I just got in and I got to be what the FBI allowed me to be and allowed my strengths to show through in. And because of that, here's just a guy who got to be part of really amazing investigations. And also, I tell a good story. So, you know, the investigation may not have been that great, but I'm gonna bring out all the high points to it. But what's remarkable is I can get on the phone right now. I can call anybody I know in the FBI and I can put them on speaker and I say, hey, just tell me a story. And they'll have one that'll just knock your pants off. You go like, oh, man, that's crazy. And I realized that having gone through of like, there's so many things that I got to witness, participate in, or initiate that people would probably want to hear about. So I write about that. And there's that thread throughout of this was the pastor doing this. What I learned in ministry, I got to bring out in my work in the FBI.
And I love the title. How did you come up with that?
So we had a working title that is one that I always played with because it was just a little kind of joke phrase I used when I was in. And the working title was Preacher to Breacher. So that's a really good one. I like that. But then as my wife, this is what she does for work, for a living, sent out a title survey, and she says, okay, let's put some down that we like. I tried to think of what's a good one word title, like what can encapsulate this. And it really came to me just sitting and trying to brainstorm. Yeah, I mean, I was a reverend, but boy, this stuff we just rolled around in, the things we see, the disgusting, the inhumane, that was irreverent. That really works well together. And what was awesome is then working with the team of doing that title of like, yeah, so here's the reverend, but you know, let's put the IR offset like that. Felt good.
Oh my gosh. It's a completely captivating title. And such a great play on words, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm captivated. I love it. And I think, cause I love words, and I just thought to myself, oh my God, who's the brilliant genius who came up with this? It's brilliant.
Ah, well, and then my wife's company, Weaving Influence, when she started that in 2012, she says, hey, I need the name of a company. And I go, about Weaving Influence, and it fits so well. And then one time she had a client, we're traveling, she's on the phone, and her client saying, hey, I need a website that, you know, talks about, you know, doing things professionally and sharp. And if I can try to include my name, and his name was Mark, and I go, how about Mark of Excellence? And he goes, nah, because it's too perfect. Come on.
It is too perfect.
It's too perfect. I mean, it was almost one like, I'm afraid to say this because you already thought of this.
It's too perfect.